I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show, CBS Audio Network. My colleague Gregory Copley, the editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs, reflecting on the passing of the royal consort, Prince Philip, and also the understanding of the baton being passed to Charles, who is the Prince of Wales, but is heir to be the king soon enough. Too soon, perhaps, because Elizabeth's still with us and mourning now the loss of her long time best friend. However, Global Britain, there's the story. And if I understand quickly, Gregory, Global Britain is a way of Boris Johnson, his government, and the British people celebrating their national pride. I observe quickly that you have reservations, and they're well-founded, that the U.S. is going through a period where we're not celebrating our national pride. Does the contrast with Great Britain, does it help us understand why we're unhappy and how to regain our happiness?
Well, I'm not sure it does. I mean, we did see some parallel acts. We saw the election, the referendum in 2016 in the United Kingdom to say the United Kingdom will leave the European Union and become a sovereign, independent nation again. And we saw a similarly driven decision in the United States to move towards a nationalist perspective, a revival, if you like, of the national identity of the United States. Yes, they were driven by the same momentum. And part of that momentum is the end of the age of globalism. Cycles of history, if you like, run and are balanced by sovereignty periods of history. What happens when the world is wealthy, growing in wealth, in fact, and at peace, is that borders seem less and less important. But when wealth starts to decline, and for a number of reasons, any number of reasons, then people start to become nervous and start to protect what they have. And that then causes a move toward a sovereignty orientation, a nationalist orientation. And that's just a part of that cyclical flow of history. And we're in the midst of that now. We're in that period of change globally. Now, Britain is arguably ahead of the United States. It's gone through its crisis. It's been able to move back towards a nationalist perspective because of Brexit. But in so doing, Britain realizes that it has to resume its global nationalism, if you like, its role as a global trading nation. Britain otherwise is a small island nation with few natural resources other than the riches of the sea itself. So in order for Britain to prosper, it must return to being a global trading nation. And that's what it's starting to do. But to do that, you have to have obviously a lot of confidence. The Netherlands or Denmark itself, these were countries which were great global trading powers. Portugal, the same. They could arguably seek to return to their global mission, their global historical mission of being great traders and building their wealth and influence around the world. They've chosen not to do so. They're just happy to be small, prosperous countries within Europe. But Britain doesn't have that option. It has to be out in the world trading. So a resumption of national pride, national identity, is absolutely critical for Britain to succeed. Now, you could argue that it's critical for the United States to regain its sense of self, its sense of identity as a homogenous nation state. But it hasn't as yet. It's still riven with polarization and between people who want to say, look, we were very happy being the wealthiest people in the world, happy not having to think about borders. We could go where we want, buy what we wanted. We didn't have to think about supporting those ignorant redneck farmers out in the Midwest. We could buy our milk from China if we wanted. Well, those days have come to an end simply because the global economy has transformed. The global population is no longer growing. It's in fact declining. So therefore markets are starting to move into this decline. And this is going to create a new economic model. Now, the globalists, who tend to be urban people who think they have ample wealth, so they don't need to worry about the balance of the nation state, they resent this. They don't want to move back to that whole thing of saying, well, you know, we're Americans, we have to support American farmers, American producers, American textiles, and so on, American shipping lines, American airlines. It's going to take some time for the United States to catch up to that, and it may have to go through further decline. And in every transformation of a society throughout the ages, the move from, you know, an open globalist, if you like, liberal in terms of trade sense of things, to a nationalist society, there's always an interruption. People don't want to give up the benefits of and the entitlements which they've gained in periods of wealth. So what you have is a great period of upheaval, as you saw with the collapse of the Roman Republic. And right now, we're mirroring the collapse of the Roman Republic. And, of course, the Roman Republic was replaced by the Roman Empire, much the same society, but a different thing. But there were decades of chaos and unrest between the collapse of the Roman Republic and the rise and success of the Roman Empire.
You write provocatively that this transformation is underway right now in the 21st century, but the states that are leading in this transformation are China and Russia. Do I read you correctly? Their nationalism is stronger than the United States' nationalism. We have about a minute, 2 minutes.
Yes, indeed. Well, Russia and the PRC have had to rely on rebuilding national pride and acting on that as to give them the sense of right that they can claim their place in the world. Other countries like Egypt and Turkey are still doing that. They haven't got the resources to match their ambitions yet. But the reality is that this cycle is such that if you want to succeed, you have to grasp national identity and national pride. If you keep apologizing for your power, then you will lose it.
Because Britain is nationalizing, or at least experiencing nationalism, that's global Britain. That's what Boris Johnson represents. Is that a result, just here, because of the way you presented this, it occurred to me, is that a result of Brexit? In breaking away from Europe, did Britain regain its identity? We have a minute.
Well, no, Britain didn't regain its sense of identity because of Brexit. Brexit occurred because Britain was regaining its sense of identity.
I see.
But what we saw was that the city of London, which was all the world knew about Britain, was still stuck in the laissez-faire, wealth and entitlements marketplace. And what we didn't realize was that the majority of people in Britain represented a society which wanted to regain control of its own destiny and its own sense of pride and its own prestige. And that's what drove Brexit.
Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, born Prince Philip of Greece and Denmark, 10 June 1921, 9 April 2021, RIP. Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. I'm John Batchelor.